I'm Rebecca Wirth-Sprock from the Agile Alliance, having a conversation with two folks who wrote a curated report on the state of Agile transformation in India. Why don't you introduce yourselves so that we can get to know you a little bit?
Hi, Rebecca. I'm Tathagat. You can call me TV. It's much more easy to call my name that way. I'm based out of Bangalore, which is in South India. I've been an agile practitioner for the last many years, even before the term was coined back in late 90s. And I've been learning since then, and I've been in multiple roles as a practitioner myself, then as an agile leader when I was at companies like Yahoo and other places. And then I did my own gig for 3 years when I was helping other companies with their agile journey. And I know Deepthi from the conferences. She had an idea about doing some kind of a summit where we can bring some of the change agents together. So I said, okay, why don't we look at some of the problems plaguing the agile transformation? We keep hearing about agile transformation in pretty much all the conferences, but a lot of stuff that people talk about doesn't seem to be really solving a lot of high-level problems. So then we got talking last year, let's go and do this summit where we could have conversations around that.
TV had been my inspiration. The very first conference which I went, he was keynote speaker there. And I come from NCR Corporation where I worked 10 years, and we were pure waterfall, and I was good with process, and I was also working with enterprise application integration. So it was a lot of collaboration, a lot of different teams, vendors, firmware, software, hardware. Somewhere around 2013, our organization, like any other organization, was very confident that they are also agile. They can change when they want to be waterfall and then when they want to do scrum. We all knew nothing about agile, but we all were agile. One fine day, they sent us for a training, and that's when we were actually formally introduced to Agile, Scrum, how it happens. That's when I said, I want to know more, I want to do more, and I want to see the organizations where it really happens. And I started going to meetup, and hence the very first conference where I met TV. And that was even further inspiring. You know, so that for the first time gave me courage to think that a person can independently do something. And that was when I decided I am going to be an independent consultant, because by then I actually had invested 2.5 years with my organization as a scrum master. But I knew it's not happening. And so then the question was how to learn, how to get that knowledge in organizations in India. Let's not fool ourselves and our audience and our companies by saying that it's happening. There should be something which is India-born. All the reports that we bring and present are so not suitable for our environment. It had not happened here. It's from somewhere outside where the mindset is very different, culture is very different. What can we do? And so that's when we said, in order to generate a report, let's bring in other change agents. Let's hear from them.
So you've had a long-term communication, but you spurred each other on to actually hold this summit. You invited people and 30 showed up?
Yeah, there were a handful of people who traveled from different part of India, but majority was from the local place, which was Northern India, capital city. There were people with an experience of 25 years to experience of 6-7 years. And there were people who were scrum masters, and then there were entrepreneurs, there were managers, senior managers, VPs. So we had a mixed profile coming in. Some were from pure IT service companies, some were from product companies.
So was everyone who attended doing Agile?
Majority, yes. A few of them aspiring.
That's right, Deepthi. I think a majority, maybe 80% of them were actively practicing Agile in some shape or form, in some role.
Mm-hmm. All managers actually who were engaging change agents in their organization for transformation. Yeah.
So you structured your summit in a way where you could talk about adoption and transformation. How did you come to that structure?
So what we initially thought was that this is a very nascent topic for a lot of practitioners in India, because we don't have too many success stories of how things have really happened. So we don't really know how the finish line should be looking like. So we said we don't really want to bring a sage on the stage kind of a thing, because that's how a lot of conferences we already do there. So we wanted to do a flip conference. We said We are going to have a facilitation in such a manner that we will open up the topic and all the participants are going to do a lot of table work, and then we are going to collate all the lessons out of it. So that was the high level thinking around it. A lot of it was driven by my own first-hand and second-hand experiences of how I was seeing things happening. So we said, hey, typically a lot of adoption pattern begins with the adoption. So when the organization doesn't have anything, they really are starting from a 0 to 1 kind of a thinking. That's the toughest time. It is almost like if you want to learn a new language, the toughest time is really the first 1 week because you are undergoing maximum amount of changes at that point in time. So we said, let's go and first focus on what are the adoption related challenges that people are facing. And we created a very loose kind of a structure for each of the 4 sessions. And we said, hey, we are just going to replicate the same structure. We will open up the topic. The moderator will just do a 5-minute explanation of that. And then we are going to do independent brain writing and then collate all the points. Every table will have about 50 points. Cull it down to about 10 points. And then we said we are going to collapse them into some high-level themes. And that is how we came up with 3 top themes, which we have put down in the report.
When I was rereading your paper this morning, it's like there's this initial adoption, there's sustaining transformations, and then there's becoming driving business agility.
That's right, yeah.
My observation reading your report, there's a lot of people stuck in the beginning in India, and that having more significant change is something that not many people that attended have experienced.
Yeah, that was my understanding, and especially the 3 years that I was doing my own gig. I went to the Fortune 100 and the mid-sized companies, and I found 90% of the cases, the failure modes were very similar. There was a lot of initial bottom-up adoption that was done, but then there was no commensurate changes made in the structure or the culture at large. It fell back to the old normal. And it was actually worse than the old normal because the resistance was even higher than the previous time. What happened was there was a lot of external scaffolding done, and the external scaffolding was in the form of trainings and coaches. Now, any kind of an external intervention, if it is not internalized, will have a shelf life. So 6 months, 12 months, and the agents and the trainers will go away at some point in time, or the sponsor walks away. So then what happens is then the primary drivers for the change and the primary folks who are doing the heavy shouldering of that, they leave the organization. There is no incentive to be internalized. See, one of my biggest learning as a change agent or as a change leader was, all you are saying is, hey, do the code review better. Do I do the CI/CD here? Then there is only so much that the engineers are able to do, and they realize that the constraint has just moved out of the room to somewhere else. But when that changes and the old pressures are applied to judge the capability of the team, they have to fall back on the old ways of doing things. Resistance to change being hardened, it is like people look at it as a fire drill and they say, hey, you know what happened last year, right? Let's not do it again. That becomes the bigger challenge.
Yeah, so these, I absolutely agree. There is no constant focus from leadership on this. So they decided 6 months we are focusing. Yeah, I mean, 6 months we'll be focusing on this. And then after 6 months, they feel like, no, we are not happy with whatever is happening. Or even if they're like happy, they'll be like, yeah, fine, keep doing whatever you are doing. We're not strategy around it. There is no support. So, and managers are still doing some of their own work. So as Stevie was saying, the structural change that had never been into serious consideration. Then another aspect is the developers feels that all the pressure to run from a sprint to sprint and deliver faster and ensuring quality, even though there is no change in the mindset, because you are still not allowed to speak, you are still not allowed to decide how much work you can actually deliver, you are still not involved in planning. Everything is just told to you. You have 2 weeks, a sprint, 3 weeks, a sprint, you have to deliver this much backlog. So the anger, it increases. It's very frustrating. Now, managers, the middle management layer is absolutely confused. Should I act as an agile manager? What is actually as an agile manager? There is this parallel authority of a scrum master who actually doesn't have authority, but he really gives a good fight to the manager. Product owners, it's a funny thing. So manager feels completely lost. Now there is no accountability as well. Mm-hmm. And major transformations that which I have seen. So these 3 roles completely confuse developers.
But let me also take a step back why that is the case. One of the biggest failure modes I have seen is a lot of agile transformations are actually initiated or owned by an engineering director or a VP of engineering level. If the director or VP of engineering is really managing it, guess what are their drivers? I mean, end of the day, their OKRs or whatever they are being rated for is really all about engineering excellence. Nobody is really talking to them about the profit and loss or the revenue and those kind of things there. So what happens is, to me, an agile transformation is meaningless if the means are being misunderstood as the ends by themselves. So I could have better code coverage, I can have more automation, I can have more test-driven development. But end of the day, if all that I am putting on the table doesn't help me get better business, those objectives, they had nothing to really do with the goals of the organization. And that is where that was a big disconnect. What tends to happen is, and this could be a very geographic kind of a thing, a lot of multinationals or the services companies that are based out of India don't always have the access to the market. So they don't always have the product managers or the business leaders really sitting in India. So Maxly talking about the engineering level problems there. If I am a VP of engineering, then what am I responsible for? I'm responsible for delivery charter. I'm responsible for engineering excellence, predictability, reliability, quality. Really, nobody is saying, hey, your market share should go up from 23% to 27%. That is somebody else who's sitting in US or Europe and who's doing that. Now, things are changing with a lot of Indian companies that are now having complete the whole innovation product development happening from here. They obviously have to look at the top line there. So things are changing with them. But by and large, our data points from a lot of services companies, which don't have the charter anyways to do the innovation, because they are really solving another problem for their customers, and the multinational centers was very different.
The fact that they don't have the business drivers, does that lead to things that are not ideal?
So, for example, I mean, typically I would say, but to me, the first question is, why are we even embarking upon Agile as a way of solving problem there? If somebody says, hey, we feel that there is a problem with the code quality. I mean, if you have a code quality problem, then go and fix the code quality problem. Do the code reviews better. And the way I have looked at it, it is like we have an organization that needs some intervention. And we are saying that the way we are doing engineering will change. The way we are doing product management will change. The way we are doing build, release, and test will change there. Everything but for the leadership, everything but for the HR policies, everything but for the culture, everything but for the structure will change. What that means, what that signals or messages to the engineers in the trenches, it says my leadership is all perfect. Everything is fine there. It's really the problems with us. So we have to go and fix that. Now, I think this is really putting the blame on somebody beyond what their mandate really is. Because most of the time, a technical debt is not really going to make that big a dent. I mean, you do a build instead of 6 hours, you do it in 4 hours. Big deal. The point is how reducing the build time is really helping you improve your business. To me, that is more interesting question.
And I also see that it's broken. So for example, I mean, one of the departments we were working with, they had multiple teams. Now all the teams would feel that they have delivered on time, but business was never happy. All this investment was happening in Agile transformation. The business was like, okay, we do understand. We get what do you mean by Agile. Okay, fine, you know, faster delivery, quicker delivery. MVPs will be delivered every sprint. But none of this is working because each team had a different objective and they were somehow meeting that. But that was not going to the bigger business objective. And so it was broken. Then it is so difficult. There is no coaching. There is no way that leadership should be made aware that they also need to sit down and learn few things. And their why is also missing. Why they think Agile will help is also missing.
One of the things that I'm hearing is that maybe the reason for Agile transformation was the hope that things would go faster, better if I do these practices. Not thinking about the culture, causing ways of thinking differently. Instead, maybe they're looking for a quick fix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
You had 30 people come and they did their brain writing and you collated this. What next?
The immediate next step is our next summit, which is in Bangalore on 13th of October. It has to reach out to wider audience. And so it is openly, publicly available. There is always this conversation, what are the reports which are born out of India, which are relevant to India? So now this one establishes as a report which is relevant to India. And we look forward to bring in more leaders to have that conversation. It's impacting and influencing a country. So it will take time. But yes, that is to bring out the reality.
We feel the sample size was pretty good. We will have another sample from Bangalore this year because since we are doing it in Bangalore, we are likely to see more folks locally here. We'll compare and contrast and see what kind of data we come up with. Yeah. We are looking forward to that. Yeah. And in fact, I want to thank Agile Alliance and you, Rebecca, for publishing our report, because actually we got a mail from somebody in Australia, and they said, hey, they want to do something. And one of them reached out to me, and I connected with them and said, hey, we don't own any of that. What we have done is totally in public domain. Feel free to go ahead and do that. And they were very inspired and they want to do something similar with. So we feel very encouraged that we are not alone in this.
That's why it was very important for me to call it Indian subcontinent and not just India. Because in itself, it's so much different. We'll go Bangalore, it's different. Hyderabad is different. Chennai is very different.
Okay. There are, I won't say microcultures because there's the population in India is quite large. There are many cultures. One thing that strikes me is that recognizing culture is very hard when you're in that culture. And what you've managed to do with the summit is to get people to brainwrite about challenges that were there. You had a real good mental exercise.
Yeah.
So yes, it was really an intensive, great mental exercise.
So I look forward to hearing what happens after October.
Thank you, Rebecca. Nice talking to you.